T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You think he comes back to New England?
I do.
Mike.
I do, Steve.
I'm not Mike.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You think I'm pretty naive, don't you?
I love you to death.
Dale Arnold.
Man, you were great to me, Boston.
And it's been a blast.
My family and I thank you.
Love coming to work every day.
Rich Key.
Cody Bellinger's job, get informed, know the facts for sure. If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Skerfuffle.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Six...
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I will say this for all of you who are celebrating the holiday today, like our buddy Rich Keefe is. This morning on my drive into work, I sincerely appreciated every single one of you.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Oh.
The stress relief. Thank you, President Washington.
Last Tuesday, Lincoln. It took me 2 hours to drive to work. Just a normal Tuesday. It took me 2 hours. Today I was like, I'm sitting here at 20 minutes of nine going, now what do I do?
And what did I tell you when I walked in? I'd be willing to take the bullet. I'd be willing if we could go with some Thanos-like snap of the fingers and eliminate half the world.
I'll You'd take be one of
the
them?
Team. I'll take one for the team.
All right, I'm up for that.
Let my kids stay. There's two of them. I'd like.
I'm up for that. As long as you're the one taking the bullet, that's fine by me.
What do you got left off of the world, Dale?
Not much.
So, see, you're willing to go, too.
No, I'm not willing to go anywhere. But
well, what do you got left to do?
So there's a couple of folks out there who are saying things about others that we've got to get to. Let's start with Mike Trout. Now, you made the point earlier on in the program that despite what Rob Manfred wants, despite what Rob Manfred says or thinks, which is probably along the lines of, please shut up, please shut up, don't say anymore, just please shut up. Well, people aren't shutting up. Today, the best player in the game, no, not Mookie Betts. The guy just above Mookie Betts on the food chain is Mike Trout of the Los Angeles Angels. And let's just say he's not real fired up about what the Astros did either.
It's sad for baseball. You know, it's tough. You know, they cheated. And, you know, just I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not, you know, getting anything. You know, there was a player-driven, you know, thing. You know, it sucks too, because you know, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. You know, it would be me going up to the plate, knowing what's coming. It'd be pretty fun up there. So you know, it's just like I said, it's a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys, and you know, it seems like every day something new comes out. So
I'll say this: Mike Trout better be sure his house is clean. I mean, he can say all that stuff as long as he knows, I mean knows, that the Angels aren't doing anything.
Right. And he probably does. I mean, he's the big dog, right?
Yeah, you would think that A, ain't nobody doing anything like that in his organization without him knowing, and
there's
B...
There's no big Carlos Beltran to be afraid of.
No, Mike Trout would be the guy you'd be afraid
exactly.
of. Exactly. You know... Back in the day, maybe Albert Pujols you'd be afraid of or something. But
you know what the next step in this whole debacle would be? If Major League Baseball somehow started fining the players that are talking out. Because they don't have immunity, right?
No.
What if the commissioner says,
No, the
know
only
what?
One with immunity apparently are the Houston cheaters. Astros, because now pitchers can't even throw at them.
Right. The only ones with immunity are the guilty ones. And that would be the only way baseball could screw this up anymore, is to come out and say, you know what, all these comments... They're detrimental to the game of baseball. They're extending this. Mike Trout, you just got fined $50,000 for talking to reporters. That's the only way they could step in it any more than they have. Because I don't understand why a mandate hasn't come out from Manfred. Manfred mandate. Stop talking. It's very simple. Not that hard. Stop talking.
Probably because he can't. I mean, he really can't.
He's the commissioner. He can do what he wants. No. Take control.
Unfortunately, your right to free speech supersedes the commissioner's powers in
this
country.
Yeah, when you leave. when you leave. When you're in my league, you play by my rules. It's just like we don't criticize umpires and referees in any sports. Shut your mouth.
I think that there are things that you can prohibit a player from saying. Like there are rules about, you know, you can't criticize the umpires.
Right.
Okay. What you can't do is say, no, you can't say anything about us.
But at least maybe ask. Strongly suggest. You know what? We've screwed this up as a sport. I take part of the responsibility. Send out a nice memo. I'm sure Jared Diamond will like to report it for the Wall Street Journal
at some point. He'll have a copy of it within minutes.
Just say, listen, none of us is perfect. Maybe I screwed up in adjudicating this. They definitely screwed up in cheating, but we're making it worse. We're continuing the story. We need to move on at some point. I told you guys, the steroid era, you need to have the sign-stealing era. You need to give people the idea that everything is over. We've worked past it. It was a dark day in our game. But we're beyond it. And they haven't reached that. They keep talking about it.
We mentioned earlier, speaking of, you know, the era being over, we mentioned that one of the things Rob Manfred said yesterday was that there have been, his words, not mine, developments in the investigation of the Red Sox so-called sign-stealing scandal. My words, not his.
Right.
And that it has caused them to have to go back and talk to some other people again. Now, for all those people who've been hanging their hat on, there is nothing to see here. I'm here and the Red Sox are not going to get anything. Doesn't that sort of fly in the face?
Well, I will be tuning in at 2 for Lou Maloney because he's one of those people. I'm here and, you know, Dan Roach was one of them. I'm here and they're not finding anything with the Red Sox. And now the commissioner is on the record of not saying necessarily that they found anything.
But now there have been developments.
Right? That's a lead.
His words, there have been developments. So we've had to go back and re-interview some people. Here's the deal. When Evan Drellick first wrote the piece about the Red Sox angle to this, he said he was getting information from 3 sources. Now, he didn't identify his sources. I respect that. What if 1 or 2 or all 3 of those sources have now been in touch with Major League Baseball? Because what everybody said was there was no whistleblower in the Red Sox case and that changed everything. You had Mike Fiers giving it up against the Houston Astros. That led to the investigation. That led to the Astros getting bounced around. And you said there's no whistleblower. Well, what if one of or more of those 3 sources that Drellick talked to has said, hey, Kamish, you want to hear what I got to say?
That's not good. That won't
be good at all.
It's not good for the owners and their reserve judgment comments and, you know, the players who have sort of said they did nothing wrong. You know, I did think it was interesting that Chris Sale was sort of the voice of reason, like, we'll just see. Like, I don't, you know, he just said, wait, we got to play it out. Like, and he's just going to do his job, basically. I'll go to work doing my job, and my job is
although
to try to
be a
pitcher.
Talk about the Astros bouncing him around in game 1 of the ALDS and how he maybe looked at that game a little differently
right now. And a lot of people are doing that. You know, Mike Trout in these comments said, you know, I didn't notice the banging other than the banging of the bats. We basically didn't miss a lot of bats there. And that it's funny because now people are sort of revisionist history thinking of, oh, yeah. Remember that game when we were there and they seemed to hit every pitch?
Now, let me be the cynic here, okay? Because that is my job.
Yes, negativity.
I was listening to an interview yesterday, I think. Carl Ravitch was at the spring training site for the World Series champion Washington Nationals. They were talking to the manager. He said, yeah, well, you know, we kind of knew this stuff was going on, so we had to be careful about it. You know, we made sure that we changed the signals and all that. So, you know. You're the manager of the Washington Nationals, and you know what the Astros are doing. So you know what you do? You have a guy down the hallway from your dugout banging the crap out of a trash can. Every time they come up, every pitch, you're banging that trash can because you know what they're doing anyway. And some guy's going to get one right in the ear hole because you're messing up with their system.
That's a good idea. I wonder if that happened at all.
Why didn't somebody just say, I knew what they were doing, you know, I had an idea what was happening here, so get your own trash can.
Well, I have wondered that because you can know what they're doing. They're stealing our signs.
Right.
But maybe not know the particulars, the exact communication. But the banging? And I know it seems obvious now that
because
you know about
it. You heard it.
But I got to think, if I'm in the dugout, I mean, the batter's box is right there. The banging's coming from over there. I'm right here. I'm in close proximity. Now, that's weird. What is that banging noise? Even if, you know, cameras and radio and parabolics aren't picking it up as much as all these managers, where do they sit? Right at the end
right
of the
there.
Dugout, closest to the other team, right? And you didn't hear that, and that would have been phenomenal. Because now you're a hitter, you're like, oh, there's just banging in my head. Step out.
Wouldn't that have been the perfect counterpunch to the Astros?
Yes.
You get a guy down in the hallway there banging away on that trash can every single pitch.
Right.
So now every pitch he's going, ooh, does it count? What? Ah!
Right. Well, that's why I do think some people, you know, these people that didn't want to take it. Who's the young guy that got called up? He's with the A's now. And he immediately said, no, I want no part of it. I think some of them may have wanted no part of it, not necessarily out of their moral compass of I don't
cheat. Well, Carlos Correa claimed Jose Altuve didn't want. And according to that guy who studied every single pitch, there were less trash cans being banged for Altuve at bats than anybody
right.
else.
But they were banged.
They were. Now, supposedly, according to Correa, Josh Reddick didn't want it either.
Right. But
no, I don't do that. I don't
but
want
the
it.
Young guy, I forget Reddick, but the young guy, Tony Weber.
Who got called up.
I want to say.
Yeah.
It was zero.
Yeah.
According to if you believe the online tracking
right.
of the bangs. So we're supposed to believe that they're in a clubhouse that is so fearful of Carlos Beltran that they can say nothing to him, right? That he's just run amok. He's got just carte blanche power. No one can say, even A.J. Hinch can't say anything to him. And
well,
yet,
I tried to figure if during his final couple of years here, if David Ortiz was leading the sign-stealing program for the Red Sox, would he have that kind
sure.
of authority where if you're a Red Sox player saying, geez, what am I going to say? It's David Ortiz.
Okay, maybe. But if under your scenario, if Mookie Betts says, I don't want banging for me, I don't want it,
right?
Would there be 28 instances of banging or
no.
would they listen to Mookie Betts?
No, they would listen.
So then why were there 28 bangs for
Altuve?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right? Because this is a locker room that it respects their elders and their star players. They get. So Altuve said, I don't want it, and yet he got it? That makes no sense to me. Is that believable? I don't find that believable.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's a lot of layers and holes here. And the Carlos Correa stuff where he goes back and like pitch
well,
by pitch.
Well, I saw one of them, one of the Altuve pitches, the trash can got banged. And this guy went through on a knuckle curve.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. No wonder I didn't want you banging the trash can. You banged a trash can on a knuckle curve?
Maybe they, like, tripped in the hallway and knocked the can over.
Yeah, some
over
guy fell
and,
over
right.
or something.
I don't know. I mean, that's when you cheat. Sometimes you get in trouble. That's why I don't know. I think I wouldn't have wanted it. Too much thinking. I know they all say, I mean, I guess if I was really.
Although, as Mike Trout said, if I'm standing up there and I know what's coming.
But you have to have faith in the accuracy
sure.
of the information. That would be my concern. That I don't have faith in the accuracy. But I guess if I watched a teammate, oh, wow, he hit another bomb. That was another fastball.
Yeah.
At some point, you probably say, you know how I said I didn't want it? I'll take it
Bang
now.
Bang away.
Bang away. Let's go.
Let it rip at that point.
But the issue here is, I mean, you have Mike Trout. You have Cody Bellinger. You have star players continuing to talk about this and rip this and
extend
gonna the
continue.
Story.
It's not done.
Manfred's job. I mean, I know he's making good money. This is not an easy one. And I don't think he's made it better. Don't get me wrong. I think he's made some mistakes here. I even have doubts about this new information, and they're going to follow up on the leads, and that's why there's a delay in the Red Sox thing. I don't know whether that's true or not true. But this can of worms has not been closed.
I mean, for Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, to, within 50 seconds of himself, say it didn't have any impact on the game, and I'm not saying it didn't have any impact on the game. As somebody on Twitter said immediately after that, if it doesn't have any impact on the game, tell your pitchers they're going to tell the hitter what each pitch is before they throw it.
Well, that's where you know how I feel. I think the other team was doing it on some level.
But I'm saying if you think it has no impact.
Right, but I think he's saying no impact.
If your pitchers have to tell them what's coming.
Right.
Tell me if they think it has no impact.
See, I think Jim Crane would say my pitcher doesn't have to tell them because the guy in the box is going to say, I know, we have our own scheme going. It's no garbage can and no banging, but I know what's coming. We've known for a while now. We're just not as good at it as you guys are. That's how I've looked at it. Did you see the video, the old school video of Chris Sale, I believe against Victor Martinez in Detroit in Chicago, and Chris Sale hits him and then yells, your boy out
yeah.
there in the... There's so many of these that I never even really was aware of over the years.
Danny Picard wrote about that.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal story by Danny Picard.
Great job.
I would urge
Picard.
Anyone to go read it. Danny, I think it's dannypicard.com.
I think so. And he wrote about it.
Tremendous.
At colored T-shirts. And
yes.
they were doing this home and road.
Yes.
And, you know, they had a whole elaborate system. And Chris Sale said, okay, here.
Right. Which would be my fear, too.
Yeah, I know.
Don't piss off the guy that has a little white ball that goes over 100 miles an hour towards me.
So the other guy who had stuff that he wanted to say today, in addition to Mike Trout, was apparently Mike Tomlin, the football coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who decided he was going to go on First Take today on ESPN because he's a little pissed off. ESPN implied during their reporting, and other people have reported this as well, Myles Garrett implied, flat out said, that the NFL knew that a racial slur had been used by Mason Rudolph, but that they covered it up. Now, ESPN, I guess, in the course of playing this interview by Myles Garrett, kind of gave complicit acknowledgement. Okay, well, the NFL covered it up. Well, Mike Tomlin wanted to go on First Take and take that right on.
I represent the leadership of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and that also was implied during that interview this weekend that somehow we suppressed evidence or were participants in some lack of thoroughness. And anybody that knows this organization, knows what it stands for, understand how the Rooney family gets down from a business standpoint, that's laughable. We would not participate in the covering up of such issues, and we would obviously do what was appropriate in terms of dealing with those circumstances.
He was pretty upset. And you know, obviously, if you're implying that the Steelers know that he used this racial slur, but they're covering it up, I'll point out for people who don't know that Mike Tomlin is an African-American head coach in the National Football League.
Right.
My guess is he wouldn't like it if his player was doing as Myles Garrett alleged and using that particular term. And even in the heat of the battle against Myles Garrett, and in Tomlin's case, he wanted to double down completely in his defense of Mason Rudolph.
It was presented as a he said situation. Even to this day, it was presented as a he said. And I think the National Football League office was very clear that they launched a thorough investigation among all parties involved, including the interviewing of people and the analysis of technology that was on that field. And they found no evidence of Miles's allegations. And I think that should be stated.
I'll say this. If the National Football League had audio proof that this was used and covered it up to protect Mason Rudolph,
that's the problem,
as opposed to Myles Garrett, a defensive player of the year candidate every year.
Yeah, I love to be cynical. I love to be a conspiracy theorist. I don't understand the why. If I can even, why? Mason Rudolph, not Ben Roethlisberger, not Tom Brady, not Peyton Manning.
Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
Patrick Mahomes. If this were Patrick Mahomes, I could see it. Oh, my God, the face of our new friend, league just won. We cannot have him going down. We need this. Brady's just about done. Manning's gone. What are we doing? Mason Rudolph, a borderline backup fill-in starter who was in, was out, lost his job to Duck Hodges. It makes no sense to me. So the logic, the leap of logic there, I just don't. Is it? I mean, I guess the one thing you could sell me on, if I was trying to latch onto something, is Steelers franchise, Rooney family, something there, the Rooney rule.
But here'd be the problem. Yeah. If I were the NFL and I thought all those things, you bring up great points. I, the Rooney family. If I've got it, what if somebody else has it?
Right.
What if I bury it? And I say, nope, nothing to hear here. And tomorrow on TMZ, they're playing the audio.
Especially in this day and age where everybody has a recording device right in their hand, which can take an audio clip, text it, email it, save it, move it along, and you don't know what's out there and how far it went and who has a copy and any of that. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I didn't believe it before Mike Tomlin came out to support Mason Rudolph. And if there was a 0.001% chance, I've eliminated that with Mike Tomlin and how much support he's put behind Mason Rudolph.
And say this, you don't hear from NFL head coaches much this time of year.
No, he's angry. I mean, he says, I'm here to represent the Pittsburgh Steelers leadership. So he's speaking for them. It's unreal.
So I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph. And to be quite honest with you, we were hacked off with what we saw this weekend. Not specifically from Myles Garrett. He's been in the lane that he's in. But what was displayed by ESPN in that panel, the way that the situation was presented, I don't think was fair to Mason Rudolph. And that's why I'm here today.
Wow, so he's hacked off.
And more at ESPN than Myles Garrett.
Well, I guess they had a panel discussion after the, now, the, I think it was Mina Kimes who did the interview with Myles Garrett, and she didn't offer any editorial comment, but apparently on one of the shows over the weekend, they had a panel that discussed this, and his point is, you're just accepting this guy's statement as gospel truth here, and...
Yeah, because, I mean, I can tell you, I did radio over the weekend, this interview came out, and the first thing I did was question that. Like, what are you saying? Hey, you're all over the place. You're all over the place, Myles Garrett. You don't want to make it racial.
I'm not saying, and that's no excuse for what I did.
You're all, I don't know what you're doing. So, you know, Tomlin just said he's been in the lane he's been in for a while now. No, he's kind of swerving all over the highway at a high rate of speed, and I don't know which lane he's in. But I would actually like to go back and find that now, because I wasn't aware of this, him sort of accusing the panel of giving too much.
Yeah.
Whatever credence to Myles Garrett's words, because I'd be interested, because that is a strange. And then I start to wonder if they're paying. I don't even know who it was, but why are they paying credence to it? Are there business relationships? Is it friends of Myles, got Myles Garrett, the agent? Why would you? Because the first reaction for me as a human being is he's not believable. And if I follow the logic, there's not a lot of logic here for why the NFL would do this.
The NFL had just reinstated Myles Garrett. And I said this the other day when it came up. If I were Myles Garrett, I don't believe I'd have done this.
No. You met with the commissioner recently to get back in.
You just got reinstated. And then in your first interview that I know of, in the aftermath of being reinstated, you accused the National Football League of covering up evidence of the crime.
And how does this help Myles Garrett? Let's continue to follow logic and just... What do you get from this, Myles Garrett? You're back in. You're already reinstated. You're going to get to play. You're going to go to OTAs in summer, and then you're going to be on the field in week one.
You'll be a great player again.
You've got a new coach.
You have been in the past.
You'll probably have a sack on week one. You'll be an early defensive player of the year candidate. What do you need out of this? Because you said it doesn't excuse your own actions, so then why bring it up? What's the positive ending for Myles Garrett? I can tell you what the negative ending is. Oh, they're defending him? Oh. His coach is really mad. His coach is firing back, doing interviews on ESPN, not just about me, but about the coverage of this. Oh, he could sue me now? His representatives have already put out a statement.
Michael McCann stated that he thinks that there would be a basis for a slander lawsuit if Mason Rudolph elected to go that way.
You know who else said that? His representatives. They put out a statement on Twitter over the weekend saying he has now delved into the land of legal action, potential legal action. So,
because this does have a significant financial effect on Mason Rudolph.
Right.
Well, by the way, let's be honest. I couldn't pick him out of a police lineup. Chances are he's not going to even be playing. But you get tagged with that label, and let's, for the sake of our argument, say falsely tagged with that label. Well, forget about any commercial endorsement opportunities you'll ever have going forward.
Or even go further than that. Let's say he sucks as a quarterback. His career is over as a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what a lot of backup bad quarterbacks do? They go into
go
TV,
to the media.
Radio, right? You're doing the C game on CBS, color commentator. You think this hurts his higher ability for a network? Certainly would seem to hurt it in my... Now, I think it's going to be hard to prove, because I think you have to prove malice, too. Like, you intentionally slandered him, and I don't get all of that, but...
I got to be honest. I think you say this would all be easily proven.
But wait... What if
the malice part?
Myles Garrett.
Why would you put it out? And
well,
by
I was
the way,
trying to cover my own butt.
Don't you have to offer some proof that he did it? If you're Myles Garrett and you make that kind of an accusation, don't you have to be able to prove it?
Well, I'd like to, but the league destroyed the evidence.
Or can I just say, well, I heard Andy Hart use the N-word in the hallways? I mean, I can't just say that stuff without being able to back that up.
Please don't.
Exactly.
I'd like to have a future, just like Mason Rudolph would like to have a future. I think it's going to be hard for anybody to prove anything, because I think the bottom line is, barring the smoking gun, which doesn't seem to exist, it's a he said at the bottom of a pile. And I don't and I do think that why would Myles Garrett do it? I'll ask the same question of Mason Rudolph. Why you would sue? Because that's what people expect you to do. If you're 100% wrong, prove it. Put your money where your mouth is. Stand up and say it. Scream from the top of a mountain, and that's the way you do it.
Well, and if you're Mason Rudolph, it's not like you can provide the tape that shows you didn't say it, but what you can do is provide the study from the National Football League, who said they investigated this completely, and they could find no evidence that this ever took place.
And I don't know exactly how this all works, but I'm pretty sure I could bring Mike Tomlin and Maurkice Pouncey and whoever to the stand and say, nope, I've never heard him say that word.
Well, there was an offensive lineman who was literally in between the two of
you
them.
You bring all those
as
to the
helmets
stand,
being swung.
You bring the referee or whichever referee that was right there. You bring everybody. Nope, I didn't hear it. You do your own. You know, you open yourself up a little bit, but maybe you do your own social media.
Yep.
Have you ever seen it? Because he's had some issues. Remember there was, he liked some pro-Trump tweets or
supposedly,
like people tried
he's
to
a,
make
he's
those.
A Trump supporter.
Right.
That's fine. But I mean, that doesn't make you a racist right. either.
And even if you are a racist, it doesn't mean you can prove it and you've used the N-word in the past and suddenly, oh, you're quite comfortable with this word. How do I know you didn't use it? That kind of thinking.
And trust me, they'll be able to scrub his social media to a degree that if he has used that word in the past, even if it was some smart aleck 14-year-old quoting rap lyrics,
right.
it'll show up.
Yeah, and I think that would already be out there. I mean, we're now into day whatever, yeah, 4 or 5. In this day and age with all these people looking at the gotcha culture, everybody wants to be the first to show they found something. I think that would be out there already.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes, but it's time to trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
We mentioned Mike Tomlin appearing on First Take today. He said it was in response to what he heard, a panel discussion. I believe it was on Outside the Lines this weekend. And they were discussing the Myles Garrett allegations against Pittsburgh quarterback Mason Rudolph. Garrett claiming that Rudolph used the N-word at Garrett, and that and I guess to Garrett's credit, he said that's no excuse for what I did, but he's trying to explain it, I guess. You know, just before he smashed Mason Rudolph in the head with his own helmet. So we thought we'd give you a little bit of the discussion. Ariel Helwani is one of the members of the panel. Is Michelle Beadle on the panel as well? And this is what they were saying over the weekend.
If Mason Rudolph said what Myles Garrett says he said, how should that affect the way we should think about the incident that took place in November?
Well, I think that it makes the Steelers look bad, and by the league, by extension, it makes the league look bad, because the inference there is that you have a player saying racist things on the field with zero discipline. Let's not forget about Mason Rudolph himself. Guys, NFL locker rooms are about 70% African American. To say that it is mildly problematic for him to have been accused of saying the N-word on the field, that is an understatement. This is going to be a real issue for him in NFL locker rooms, assuming that he is on a team this year. And I know that he's denied it through the Steelers, but he's going to have to speak up.
Yeah, they are more or less presenting this as though the allegations are true. I can act, now that I've heard it, and that's not Michelle Beadle, by the way, I apologize. But I can actually see where Tomlin did not take kindly to the way that was presented.
Yeah, there's a tone there where the if gets lost a little bit.
This is problematic. If he didn't say anything, it's not problematic at all.
Right, and another thing I want to throw out here, you know, the N-word, I don't want to throw that out there. The discussion of the N-word is, remember a couple of years ago, the NFL cracked down on, you could be flagged for using that word in any form, to a teammate, as a form of celebration, that you could be flagged if that word was heard on the field. It was not allowed. It was not part of what they were going to allow.
Right.
And we've heard this over the years. Myles Garrett, even in his own discussion, says, I don't use that word. I don't want anybody to use it around me. I've heard it discussed and questioned in the Patriots locker room. Certain players, that's not a word we're using around here. And I know you get into the differentiation of the ending of it and all that, but no. So I do agree with Tomlin, though. The tone of that discussion wasn't, okay, let's look at both sides and the big if in the middle, and if this, it was, this is going to be a real problem for him in an NFL
right.
locker room.
He's got to address this.
What's going to be a problem? We don't know that anything's true. In fact,
that
the
was
only thing
Kate
we...
Fagan, by the way, who you heard commenting.
Okay, because the only thing that's been investigated was that they could find no reason to prove it, correct? The National Football League did some sort of investigation. Now, if you go down the road of Myles Garrett, maybe they didn't want to prove something. They started with a result and then worked toward it. But the only investigation has said we can't find anything. So I give Mike Tomlin credit. You know, I've been critical of Mike Tomlin over the years as a coach. I don't think he's a very good coach. I don't know if he maximizes his talent. But he's you can see a guy that goes to the mat for his players. And he's going to the mat right now for Mason Rudolph. And I think that has to at least give you a reason to question Myles Garrett.
That was Kate Fagan during the Outside the Lines discussion. Here's Ariel Helwani, also part of the panel.
Yeah, and most importantly, it makes Mason Rudolph look really, really bad, right? Because I feel like he's kind of gotten off scot-free here. He didn't get a suspension. The whole thing just kind of washed away. And now here's Myles on his essentially first day back talking about this, almost doubling down, right? Because we came out in November and said, right?
Down.
Yeah, and we said, like, this didn't happen, right? We have no record of this happening. He's coming back on his first day when we all kind of want to move on, and he's saying, no, this really did happen. So where's Mason? Where are the Steelers? And, you know, I would say, where's the footage? Because right now it's a he said, she said thing, and
He said,
yes, of course. And I'm tend to leaning towards Myles, who's coming back months later and saying, no, this actually happened.
Yeah, Rudolph, of course, has said it didn't happen. But you said, assuming that what Myles Garrett said is true. Here's the thing I look at. Number one, I sat down with this guy, spent a whole day with him, Myles Garrett. He does not strike me as the kind of person who would throw out a false accusation for the entire country to see.
Who is that? Who's that?
That's
last
Ryan
person?
Smith at the end.
Because Ryan Smith, he almost seems to get uncomfortable for a second there, and then he sort of doubles down and says,
"Yeah, first he says, of course, he's denied these,
right?
But Myles Garrett doesn't seem like a guy who'd throw out a false accusation to me."
And Mason Rudolph was fined at the time for
his part in the fight, right?
You know, for whatever instigated it while they were rolling around on the ground. But what do you want? Like, this is a he said, as they just acknowledged. Although, again, their tone and their argument loses some of the, if this is true. That gets lost in there a lot.
I hadn't heard that until now. I see exactly what Mike Tomlin's talking about.
Yes.
That panel more or less is implying, if not directly saying, he said it.
Guilty until proven innocent instead of innocent until proven guilty. That's the tone of that discussion. He's guilty. If that person accused him, he's guilty. Myles isn't the kind of guy that would just throw this out there lightly, right? Myles is a good guy. Like, they're sort of victimizing, you know, Mason Rudolph has to be guilty because he said it. That's how the tone is. I'm with Tomlin.
Now, one guy got suspended for 6 games. One guy didn't. After the
one guy assaulted another man.
Right. And after the NFL investigated and completed their investigation, they lowered the boom on one and didn't on the other because they're trying to protect Mason Rudolph?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Mike Tomlin will not like what I'm about to do because I'm going to play the if game. If this were true, if he said it, what's his punishment by the league?
At least as many games as Garrett got.
So sticks and stones,
no,
that whole thing doesn't hold water here?
Not that word.
So if...
player in the NFL using that word against an African-American player in the league?
What if Myles Garrett had killed him? It's a possibility.
He might get more than 6 games.
No, but I'm saying, like, when he swings that helmet,
right. No,
if he hits him just the right way.
Oh, he could have, sure.
What if he kills him? Is it justified?
No.
Well, but he said something you didn't like.
No, it would not
be. He said something really bad, not just that you didn't like. It was really the worst thing he could say to you. Does that justify it? Even Myles Garrett says it doesn't justify it.
Al's calling from Georgia. Hey, Al.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, great discussion. A couple of quick points. First of all, good for Mike Tomlin for sticking up for his player. That's what I guess all coaches should do, I think, and he's doing that. Number two, these two teams play in the same division. They play twice a year. I think they're going to work this thing out over the summer. You don't want to go into next year with this thing lingering. There'll be one of these joint press conferences. We're going to kiss and make up, and it's going to be over with.
But how do you – whoa, time out, Al. How do you work it out if you're Mason Rudolph? The guy just accused me on national TV of being a racist.
Everybody just says it was a misunderstanding. I thought I heard. They'll work it out. The details I'll leave to them.
I would argue the cat is out of the bag. If Myles Garrett does that, I think there's a portion of the population that'll say,
yeah, that panel on Outside the Lines is going to still buy it.
Right. The NFL forced him to say that. He doesn't really believe that. He's getting along to get along. So. That Mason Rudolph, he said it. There's no doubt in my mind. He said it. That's how some people will see that.
Guys, come on. They play twice a year. They're going to work it out. Now,
I don't know what that means, Al. You keep saying they play twice a year. I understand. That just leaves more room for fighting.
First of all, Mason Rudolph probably won't be playing either of them.
That's true.
Look, all right, we can just agree to disagree. Let me get to my third point. There will be no lawsuit, okay? I don't care what anybody says. There will be no lawsuit. Jose Canseco has been not sued about 50 times, okay? So there will be no lawsuit. I found it interesting that the lawyer for Mason Rudolph said that the statement was defamatory. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably true, except that's not the standard in the law. The standard in the law is false and defamatory. He didn't say the statement was false and defamatory. He just said it was defamatory. Now, so there will be no lawsuit.
Except you have to prove that it was true.
Well, I understand. They're not going to put each other under oath on deposit. They're not going to go there. Okay. Last point, Adam Jones. Let's not treat this like Adam Jones, like too many of us on WEEI did, which is if the black ball player can't prove it, he's lying. Okay, I'm not willing to call anybody a liar. None of us were there. We don't know what happened. And if Miles Garrett, for whatever, can't prove it, quote unquote, you know, that doesn't make him a liar. It just means he can't prove it. That's all it means.
Listen, I understand that I can't prove that it was said or not said, and apparently neither can the National Football League. But when you put that out there, and by the way, not just that, you then say, as Miles Garrett did to Mina Kimes, that there's audio proof, but the league is covering it up?
Right. What the statement put out by the legal representation of Mason Rudolph, the line is, Rudolph had hoped to move forward. It is Mr. Garrett who has decided to utter this defamatory statement in California. That's the sentence. The defamatory statement is what Miles Garrett has said. There's nothing false about it.
Right.
Like I think Al's a little confused there. I don't really know what the in the California part means, by the way. That's a Michael McCann
where
question.
The lawsuit would be filed. I don't know.
Why is that?
I have no idea.
Where was
idea.
The game?
What else you got coming up next? Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Andy?
Okay, so we touched on it a little bit. We talked a little XFL, not exactly a great week two, a little bit of momentum they lost from week one and all of that. One thing that's still entertaining is the various extra audio access we get as viewers in a sideline interview heading into halftime with a quarterback and offense that's struggling. Well, it turned into TV gold.
What does this team need to do on offense to get something going here?
We need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime.
What do you need to change about the game plan? What are you frustrated about?
There's just a lot going on right out now. It's embarrassing for us here as an offense, so a lot of things we want to fix and correct.
Thanks.
Wow. Change the entire offensive game plan.
Jackpot.
That's tremendous. That is tremendous. And the best part of it is, I don't think we have it quite here, is Kevin Gilbride is the head coach. He was asked about this issue, and he said, I got to talk to him because maybe if we got better quarterback play, we'd be doing better. And then McGloin was later benched. That is the highlight of week two in the XFL, the audio that you get on the sideline when a quarterback is stinking, and you have a hothead coach who used to fight Buddy Ryan on the sideline.
What else you got?
Nothing wrong with any of that. So yesterday, the Bruins played the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, and poor Ryan Lindbergh, former Bruins draft pick, by the way, he was involved in the Kevin Nash deal.
The Nash deal.
So anyway, he took a stick from David Krejci, an inadvertent stick was cut up around the eye. Then he got into a little smash mouth situation with Brad Marchand in front of the net. Marchand gave him a cross check. Marchand in turn got cross checked in the back of the head. All of that stuff. So it gave Marchand an opportunity after the game to lay a little waste to Ryan Lindbergh.
I didn't even know he was here. You know, he's not going to be a player that is going to have a very long career, so I'm not overly concerned about him.
Why do you say that?
What? He's just, you know, he's a good, steady defenseman, but there's nothing that has come up in the past. So, you know, all the best to him. Hope he has a great job, but can't see it.
Nobody throws smack better than Brad Marchand.
That's tremendous.
He is not going to have a long career anyway.
Not going to be around long. That's a little like the old Kobe. Do I know him? Do I know that guy?
Do I know that guy?
Or the Tom Curran, Monty Beisel, when he got into a fight in the locker room. And he said, don't worry, Monty, I'll be here longer than you will be. And I got to give Tom Curran credit. He nailed it by about 15 years.
Happened to be true. It was me and a former Bruins coach who wanted me fired at one point. And somebody in the organization said, Dale, don't worry about it. You'll be here longer than he will. And I'm still here and he's gone.
True. You're still kicking.
We got to get out of here. Thanks for coming in today.
That was fun. That was fast.
Keith was home naming presidents in his basement drinking craft beers.
Yeah, and if the president wasn't Trump or Bush, he's never heard of
him. Might not have been able to go further than that. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
That's disgusting. What the hell is that statement? I mean, come on, just stop talking.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.